mumtomillionaire.com. Excel in business and life. Be a go getter.
Hey, it's Vina V, and welcome to the Mum to Millionaire podcast. Today on the show, we're going to actually talk about something that we've never talked about before, and we want to just give you, well, the guest is going to explain all today because she's such an amazing lady. She's a mum of two, she's a speaker, and she's a coach. Please welcome to the show, Harriet Whaley-Cohen.
Oh, hi, Vina. It's fantastic to be on your show at last as well.
Seems to like go on. I have to say, this is my fault. I'm like the worst person with emails, and then holidays comes along. I was like, Harriet, would you still like to be on the podcast? But you're looking gorgeous as always.
I'm in my gym kit. I've just had a session with my personal trainer, who brilliantly comes to my house. And you know that typical mum thing of like, oh, I've got a 20-minute window before we record this. I could probably squeeze in a shower, make myself really glamorous, clean hair, and then, you know, there's an email that needs attending to, and suddenly there's 4 minutes.
Yeah.
Forget it. Just quickly whack on some mascara and just go, I'm in my gym kit, it's fine.
But this is what makes you amazing, because you're not stopping, you keep on going, and you're just living life to the best as you can. But tell us more about you, because you're a mum of two, and we're going to get into your more kind of personal story in a minute. But right now you are a speaker and you coach other women, don't you? What do you exactly help them to do in their lives?
Well, what I do, well, in a nutshell, like if you gave me 3 words, I'd say I make women fabulous, which is 4 words. If you give me 4 words, I'd say I make women fabulous. And I show women how to be in complete partnership with themselves in every area of their life. And so self-doubt, overwhelm, destructive habits become a thing of the past, and instead replaced by really solid, deep self-esteem and confidence, emotional and physical well-being, success, life balance, energy, even feeling sexy, which is really
important. I love that. As women,
because often we're so busy dashing about multitasking that we forget that we are, you know, these gorgeous women.
And it's, do you know what, it's so true that I feel completely myself is when I put some makeup on and I've got a dress on and I can just go out without my child. And I know that sounds horrible, but that's when I feel, that's when I just feel completely myself. But kind of what tips would you even give to like a mum listening to this now who might be, I think a lot of people, and I don't know about the kind of clients you work with, I think we can be our own worst enemy in terms of self-doubt. There's so much we want to do in life, but there's always something that's holding us back. I mean, kind of right now at the beginning of this podcast, what would you say to those women?
I would say to those women that very often the thing that's holding us back is not real. And it might be as simple as thinking, I can't go and put myself forward for that job because I haven't lost the last stone of the baby weight, and none of my suits fit, I don't feel good in my body, and all of that is total and utter rubbish. And actually a big reason why those kinds of messages, whether it's about how we look or what our life should be like, are coming from the media. And the media wants us to constantly feel inadequate so that we buy this miracle diet, buy this miracle cream that will make you look acceptable on the beach if only you spend 50 quid and rub it all over you twice a day, you know. And it's by, if we allow ourselves to listen to those messages and believe them, we're always going to feel inadequate. Always. So I would say be careful what you believe, and just start to notice your thoughts. And rather than turning every single thought you have into a belief, or every single message you receive, like, you know, in order to be in a bikini, you must lose those last 10 pounds, or in order to do blah, you must have this. It's always conditional, isn't it? If I want this, I've got to have that first.
Yeah.
If you can observe your thoughts and not buy into them, not always turn them into beliefs, and just question them and go, really? And here, this is something a little bit wacky, but this works for every single woman on the whole of planet Earth. I don't often say that about stuff, right? But imagine those self-doubting voices were not your voice. Imagine they were Donald Trump. Would you believe them? If it was Donald Trump going, you can't go for that. I can't do a Donald Trump voice. My Eddie, my 8-year-old, does an amazing Donald Trump voice. He goes, it's huge, it's perfect. It's great stuff.
Do you know what? That is the best thing.
If it was Donald Trump going, you're too fat. You can't go on the beach till you've rubbed this cream in twice a day and you've lost 20 pounds. You'd just be like, no, go away.
You would look at him and be like, you are ridiculous.
Yeah, so, you'd never believe Donald Trump if Donald Trump was putting you down. So the self-doubting voice needs to become Donald Trump, and everything that he says, you need to go, really? That sounds like rubbish to me.
And you know what? That is the best thing. I love that so much, because you can actually really imagine that and like visualize that as well and really turn that thought around quickly.
And yes, there's complicated processes and looking at your childhood and this, that and the other, but like super quick solution for those self-doubts, don't believe, you would never believe Donald Trump, so don't believe those.
I love that so much.
I want to make unorthodox
like, social media post now, like Instagram, in one of those memes. I'm like, Harriet says, do this. I love that so much.
I'm going to put something up and I'm going to tag you.
Yeah.
And make a cool meme.
Okay. Now, we have never talked about this on the podcast before, which is very surprising. So we talk about a lot of stuff on the podcast, including like domestic violence, depression, all the kind of hard-hitting subject which a lot of people don't want to talk about, because it is hard for anybody to come out. I mean, a lot of stuff that's happened to me in the past, when I talk about it, I find it really difficult because there's other people involved in it. Or, you know, I always think, what if my son sees this one day? And there's all these, you know, we were just talking about thoughts, all these different thoughts that come into play. But I think divorce is a really important issue that we do need to touch on. And obviously you're divorced. You've got two beautiful children who I can see in the background. I mean, let's talk about it from like an emotional point of view, because I mean, I've been a single mum since my son was born. So I kind of, in a way, don't really have the same understanding as other people who are in a house with a guy and he's there full time and then he's not. Kind of, I don't, like, what emotions do you go through and how did you cope with that when it initially happened?
Well, I think probably the first thing to say is that it was actually my decision rather than his decision. The marriage needed to end. And so I think I went through a massive roller coaster of emotions. I mean, I know I did, and especially the year or two leading up to that final decision that things needed to move on. Because when you've, you know, invested so much on every single level, energy, time, money, parenting, everything that you've invested into this marriage, to have to actually come to terms with the fact emotionally, it's like hitting a rock bottom from something. Like, you know what, it's not going to get better, or it's not, we can't fix this, whatever it is, we can't fix this. And there doesn't need to be blame attached to why, but when you just reach that moment of this can't be fixed, and it's a, you know, I remember being completely wiped out physically and emotionally for some time by that. And then there's the actual process of going through, you know, having the conversation, which is really hard when you have to you know, talk to your spouse and say, this marriage has not worked and we need to draw a line under it. Just the build up to that.
Do you think a lot of people kind of even stumble at that point, because like you said, it is an investment. You've been married to this person for so long, you've got children with them. Do you think there, you know, a lot of people in marriages now that are like, oh, do you know what? I can't do this, like I've got children,
possibly
yeah,
there are often people who don't leave because they're worried about the financial implications, or they don't think they can cope on their own, or they think that it would be better for the sake of the children, or they're worried what everyone will think, or their parents will think. And you know, you got to remember that nobody gets married thinking, well, in 3 years you'll be getting divorced. You get married thinking, I adore this person, I adore everything about them, even the bad bits, and I want to be with them forever and build a life with them.
Yeah.
And so that dream, to give up on that dream, takes a harsh dose of reality and acceptance and so much.
And where and did
courage,
you find
actually,
that?
Courage.
Yeah, I was about to say that. So where did you find that strength to do that? Like, I know it must have taken you a very, very long time to get to
it that
point.
It really did.
How did you eventually just be like, do you know what? I need to move on now, and we need to...
I think there'd been a lot of things that I tried and that we'd tried to get things to work, and it didn't make things different. And also, I think before that, I'd experienced different life changes that had big life changes that had had like big rock bottom. So I kind of went, I've been here before, and I know that it is possible to change a situation that feels hopeless and desperate and come out the other side glowing and life is much better, even if you can't see it. And it's almost like being stood on the edge of a cliff with a pack of wolves in front of you and a massive drop the other side. And you're like, either way looks really unappealing right now, for want of a better word. Both look horrific, but I've got to take one of them. And when you get backed into that corner where you're in that situation, then it's time to jump, really. And I think for me, because I did have a really strong support network outside of my marriage, I was able to draw on that. And again, like I said with my previous thing, because it's only a couple of weeks away from my 15-year anniversary of being in recovery from addictions. And so way before my marriage needing to come to an end, 10 years before that, I had experienced what it's like to have a rock bottom, to say, my life has to change. This cannot go on anymore. And to just go for it, have the courage to go for it. And I knew then that I would need to ask for a lot of help. I would need to lean on people who'd been there before or who would just be there for me. And when you can do that, when you can reach out and ask for help and then just take that leap.
What would you say if there is a woman listening to this now and she, you know, is at the same point that you were many years ago and you thought, do you know what? I've tried every single thing. I've worked so hard. Maybe he's tried to do, you know, X, Y, Z as well. It's a partnership at the end of the day, isn't it?
Exactly.
What would you say if they know it is over, but they still aren't doing anything about it? How can that woman have that courage to, maybe, you know, it's kind of even a more practical point, like practical advice. Obviously, there's going to be lots of emotions involved, but I think a lot of people do, is what we're talking about, the fear, because you don't know when you get divorced, oh my God, what is going to happen?
It is literally like throwing all your most precious things in the air and hoping that when they fall down, none of the really precious ones smash, and you don't know how any of it is going to land. And you can't, however much you try to do it really well, you can't control the emotional fallout for children. You don't know what the future is going to hold. I think the advice I would have for somebody in that position is to do two things. First of all, to imagine life in 1, 3, 5, 10 years, still in that marriage, still feeling those same feelings. Is that okay? Because for some people, that is okay. But for me, living a sober life has also meant honoring myself and always living in a way that honors my feelings and emotional integrity. And I just went, I can't keep doing this because I'm abandoning myself. And that, to me, doesn't sit with me anymore. I'm not able to do that. I'm not able to suppress my feelings. I must honor that. But also for me, I think one of the ways that helped me to come to the decision was actually having all the facts, as many as possible. So I had had a what if conversation with a divorce lawyer, which helped me to know, okay, this is roughly how things might land financially, in terms of arrangements with the children. These are what the different options are, so that I kind of went, okay, is that going to be all right? Like making peace with worst case scenario, going, okay, worst case scenario, if this is how it is financially and this is how it is with the children, can I live with that? Is that better than where things are now? Yes, it actually was. And so that helped me. I often think that as women, you know, if we can't make a decision, it's a bit like we're on a roundabout, just going round and round and round and round. It's like we can't take an exit, any exit. And it's because we don't have enough information about what each path holds. Mm. So just getting information gathering is really helpful too.
Yeah.
So the combination of those things, kind of figuring out if worst case scenario happens, once you've got all the information, can you live with that? Because often worst case scenario doesn't happen.
Yeah. But at least you've done your research. Yeah. To see yeah. that. In terms of obviously there's two small children involved yeah. as well. How do you even try? Because I've always had to explain to my son why his dad has never lived with us and why daddy's not here. So I'm guessing it's, you know, it's hard as well for, you know, you're with yourself by yourself, not in your house with the kids.
Yeah.
I don't, do you feel it has any major effect on the children, or do you feel if you talk to them enough about what is going on, that they will be fine?
I think that every child is different and every situation is different. So I don't think there's a magic formula that goes, if you do this and then you twirl in a circle and then you buy them a chocolate bar and tell them it'll be all right, it's going to be all right. Because yeah. every child responds differently. And also the age of each child is different. And every child has a different kind of relationship with their father. Mm. Finding ways to talk to them that's age appropriate. So one of the things that my ex-husband and I did was we got some professional advice about how you talk to children yeah. about the split in a way that means as best as possible that they, that you know you want to minimize the damage, don't you? Yeah. Minimize it and hopefully remove it. And so we did find ways. And when I remember one of the clear things that we did was say to them, look, you didn't do anything to cause this and you can't do anything to fix it either, because we really, you know, small children, they start yeah. wondering, don't they, sometimes, is this my fault? Is it that I wasn't good enough? What's gone wrong here? Yeah. And because they're little, they can start to make two and two make five or seven yeah. and just make stuff mean things that it absolutely doesn't. And yeah. and I think keeping open those channels of communication with children, whether that's extra time cuddled up with them at bedtime so that if they feel they want to talk, they can, or making it more formal than that. There's lots of ways, but just keeping those channels of communication open. And I remember one of the things we were told that did really still helped my children, actually, was that they need to know where they're going to be when. So they need to know what's mummy time, what's daddy yeah. time. So they always know, like, is this a mummy weekend? Is it a daddy weekend? What's happening? Way in advance. And I remember us being recommended to have a calendar on the wall with different colours for mummy and different colours for daddy, so that it was really easy for them to wow. know what was going yeah. on. Because when things are kind of imposed on them, and so they might have just come home from school and blah, 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 and they were looking forward to a nice evening with their dad, and dad goes, no, you're going back to your mum's now. If yeah. it's all a shock, it's hard. And then apparently yeah. children get older, they worry about having stuff in the wrong house and getting into trouble at school and not having the right textbook at the right moment. So the more yeah. that they have a big picture view, and that everybody's kind of joined up.
Yeah. About and that. I think people forget, don't they? Because that's actually such a simple thing to do, like have a big wall chart and map out what is going on so the kids yeah. can see. But I think a lot of people might forget the simple things, the stuff like that can really actually help them.
Exactly. And really interesting thing happened because I know it isn't the way it is for everybody, but we ended up selling our family home and then we each got our own place and we moved to a slightly different area, not far from where we'd been before, but yeah. you know, it just made sense. And so we moved close to each other. The children had never moved house before, and they didn't know that when you move house you bring all the stuff that's in it. So they were really anxious about moving house, and I couldn't figure it out because I knew they loved the new house that we'd seen,
yeah.
but they thought that all the stuff that was in the house that we'd seen,
bless them.
So all their toys and their beds, and they thought that was all going to be left behind. And it's just little things like you just don't know what
their
little worries are. And they were worried because the house we were moving to, there were two little girls in it. So they were like, are we going to have pink bedrooms?
Oh, God.
Or just stuff like that.
Yeah. Oh, bless them. I want to give them a big hug now.
I know. I mean, obviously, that was quite a number of years ago now, because yeah. it was 2012 when we officially called it a day, and beginning of 2014, about 18 months later, when we moved into this lovely house where we are now. So we've been here nearly 4 years. But
wow. Oh, bless them.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, that's so cute. But again, we don't think about stuff like that. In terms of kind of now about us mums, again, because we're always so concentrate on the kids, making sure they're 100% okay, what is your advice for actually looking after ourselves? Because I think you probably went through such a stressful experience. How did you come out of it, and how are you, because now you're clearly happy, you've got your personal training going on, your business is going well, but how did you get to the point you are at right now?
Yeah, well, I think self-care is at the center, so I always make sure pretty much that my own tank is full before I give, or that there's more than enough in my tank. The only time that I'll ever sacrifice my own needs is if it's for, you know, my own children or someone in my immediate family or one of my best friends. You know, if one of the children needs to go to A&E at 2 a.m, that's more important than my need to get a good night's sleep. You know, so I'm very clear about about boundarying my own needs. And actually, I've gone to the point where I have them defined and I have them on a chart. And I know that if I start to feel really off center, it's because maybe my own needs aren't getting met. So, and that could be the very basic sleep, food, hydration, exercise, quality time with your friends. There may be spiritual practices, just the things that get you to okay, not the things that get you to great, the things that get you to okay. Build your life around them.
And it's kind of like having that self-awareness, because I know, and I will admit this, sometimes I have shouted at my son when I didn't need to shout at him, but it's because of me. I might have been so stressed, like, oh, I've got this deadline for filming or anything like that. He could have done something so simple that maybe he shouldn't have done, but I didn't need to react like that. I could have asked him nicely, oh, please, can you put your Lego away? But I'd be like, can you put your Lego away?
Yeah.
Sorry. So at that point, I'm like, Vina, there's clearly something wrong going on with you. You need to sit down with yourself and sort it out.
And it's amazing the difference that meeting your own needs makes. And I mean, I have on my needs charts things like quality time with my inner circle. And I figured that I need an hour minimum once a week with someone I consider one of my inner circle of girlfriends in person, and then I need a phone call every other day with someone in my inner circle, and it could be 5 minutes or an hour, but I just need that contact. And so knowing that what you need and what makes you okay, and then meeting that is just
I think that's so important. And
and you don't get triggered. It's very hard to get triggered when your own tank is more than full, when your own tank is not full.
And I think this is where so many of us do slip into old routines, because you're not looking after yourself. It's all about, I think the number one thing mums always say to me, if I'm like, oh, shall we go and do this, or let's grab a coffee, they're like, no, I'm so busy, I've got X, Y, and Z to do at home. And I'm like, oh, but you're not putting yourself, like, you, I believe you need to really work on yourself. Otherwise, the children are going to suffer. Even you could be doing, your house could be spotless, you could be the best cook, giving them fresh meals. But if you're emotionally drained from everything, you're actually no use to anybody.
Yeah, and it's so easy to slip into kind of like those disempowering positions of either, like you said, being a bit shouty, being the bit bitchy, or we can slip into something else that doesn't serve you, like the martyr position. You know, I don't know if you know about the triangle of disempowering behaviours.
No,
bitch, bitch, martyr, and victim, or the codependent triangle of persecutor, martyr, and victim. You know, they've all got different names, but it means the same thing. So the bitch is the one who's like, you know, the bitch, basically, the one who's screaming and shouting and not being very nice. And then you've got the martyr who's like, no, I'll do it. I'll just do everything. Leave it to me. No, I'll do it. Right. Well, secretly seething. Nobody helped me, or I'm the only one who can do it right. And then you've got the victim who's like, why does this always happen to me?
Yeah.
Why me? Poor me, poor me. But the thing is, when you're in those positions, it's very hard to step into when something kicks off, like there's Lego on the floor, or like your child has just knocked their juice over, right? Which happens to all of us pretty much every single day. The difference between going, oh no, you've knocked your juice over, darling. What a nightmare. I know you didn't do that on purpose. Here's, let's all clean it up together. Yeah. Never mind. And
don't do that.
Yes, we're already late for school and now there's mess everywhere and I'm tired and you always do this. And it's so sad
because with that response, which I have done many times, but it doesn't, when you look back at the day and what's happened, that has not improved the situation.
No.
By shouting.
So then the little people, you know, they it teaches them bad habits and it also makes them feel scared to make mistakes and all kinds of stuff. And when I mess up like that, I will always apologize. I mean, last week I properly lost it with an estate agent, actually, because an old au pair of mine in a panic said she needed a guarantor for her new student flat. And would I step in at like 24 hours notice? And I had to provide this insane list of things, which I provided. But then at like 1 minute to five, when they were about to hand them the keys, apparently one of my things was in the wrong format. It was in Excel instead of a PDF. And rather than me going, okay, that's a little bit annoying, I'll go and sort that out, I just utterly, completely lost it. And I haven't lost it like that in a really long time. And I went, wow, you know, where am I in terms of meeting my needs? And I went and got out my, after I'd apologized, I immediately sent an email apology and just said, you know what, I know that you weren't clear with what you asked, but there was no need for me to respond like that either. Yeah. It didn't help the situation. And I went back to my needs. I went, I have gone into bitch. I am in disempowered position rather than being in an empowered, sensible, grown-up way. And I looked and I went, I have not met any of my needs in the last week apart from, you know, a bit of sleep, but I'm eating crappy food. I'm eating kids' food. It's the school holidays. I'm not on top of one of my things on my needs is that I have to spend 5 minutes a day decluttering the house and tidying up. I hadn't even done that. You know, the most basic stuff, let alone me having quality time with my inner circle or exercise or, you know, my spiritual morning practices that are so important for me every morning, school holidays, got out the window, you know, just everything. And then it was like, someone pushes your button and bitch comes flying out.
But do you know what? I'm so glad you've said that story, because I think when other mums look at other mums, we think everyone else is perfect and we're the only one that is shouting sometimes for no reason. But the most important thing, even though you did that, number one, you apologized and you've become a better person from, like, you realize that you shouldn't have done it. And then you're looking back inwards towards yourself and thinking, okay, this is why that happened. And I really hope if a mum's listening to this, they start being aware of that, because I know so many people that aren't even aware of this. So we might understand why we shouted, but a lot of people don't.
Well, that's the thing. When you go into the victim position of it's their fault that I shouted, you're never going to win. We're always responsible for our behavior. We're always responsible for our reactions. It doesn't matter how awful the thing is or how annoying the thing is that the other person has done. We own our responses, and you can come from the disempowered position or you can step into your queen and boundary the hell out of it.
I love it.
You can step into your mother and nurture the hell out of it. Whatever it is that you need to do, you can do that. If you've met your needs and if you're self-aware, you can take an empowered position versus an unempowered one. And at the end of the day, which one's going to give you a better night's sleep? Which one makes you feel good about yourself? And you know, when I talk about women being in partnership with themselves, if you want real self-esteem and true confidence, which is really about self-trust, it's very much about letting go of those disempowering ways of behaving, taking responsibility, owning your behavior and going, okay, how do I do this? Well,
Oh, I love you, Harriet. Oh, I love all this stuff. If there's one key takeaway you'd like someone to take away from this podcast episode, what would it be so they can really just start being more happier and start caring about themselves?
Yeah. Always wear your best knickers. I know you weren't expecting me to say that, but this is emblematic I would actually, in fact, they're over there. I could go and get them. I actually have a pair of really beautiful knickers that I wave on stage, because I think it's the first thing we put on our bodies in the morning. And if you're putting on old grey, baggy, saggy knickers first thing in the morning, you're already saying, you're shit. You don't deserve nice things. It's unconscious. It's whatever. And right from the get-go, put looking after yourself and valuing yourself at the top of your agenda. And fantastic, beautiful knickers are a beautiful way to remind yourself, and quite a fun little bit saucy way as well. Yeah. First thing in the morning to just go, I deserve this, for want of a better word. You know, it's like the, what's it called, Ariel advert that goes, because you're worth it.
Yeah.
But it kind of is. If you show yourself repeatedly through your behavior that you don't deserve it, through what you eat, what you wear, how you exercise, how you talk to yourself, all these things, that you're not worth it, you will think, I'm not worth it. Whereas if you start how you mean to go on, and why not start with knickers? It will all be fine.
Do you know what? I think I'm going to clear my diary, because I feel embarrassed now that I'm wearing big black knickers.
No, you will not believe.
They're so comfy, Harriet.
After my talks, after a lot of times when I've been on stage or videos or whatever, the number of messages and emails I get from women about knickers, brilliant. It's all good. It's all good.
I love that. And one more thing I love about you is that you've mentioned it throughout this podcast, is just writing down what it is that makes us tick. Like, how are we going to look after ourselves? And do you just have that like on a bit of paper and you stick it to your wall, or is it in a diary? Is there a better way that you think?
Stick it somewhere where you're going to see it. So it could be on your kitchen cupboard, on your bathroom mirror. It's good if you do have your family around you who you live with.
Yeah.
Pop it on the fridge as well, so that they can see, like, mummy really needs a lie-in at the weekend. Mummy really needs to get to whatever classes. Otherwise, she screams when we knock our juice over. So when mummy says, oh, do you know what? I'm kind of tired tonight. I don't think I can be bothered to go to Zumba or whatever it is. You want the husband, the kids, everyone going, mummy, you're so much nicer when you've been to Zumba. We know you're tired. Get out the door, rather than them going, yeah, stay. You know, so that everyone can support. So the more you make this public declaration of, this is what I need. And that's a big deal, actually, asking for what you need.
Oh, I love it, Harriet. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast. Where can we find out more about you?
Okay. So my Twitter and my Insta are @Harriet_WC for obvious reasons. Yeah. And my Facebook is facebook.com/Harriet Whaley Cohen, all one word. That's my business page. I also have a website, which is undergoing a big revamp. So I guess by the time this has gone out in a week or two, it will be all shiny. And that is HarrietWhaleyCohen.com. And really excitingly, the finishing touches are going on to my new little opt-in. So if people do want to get my newsletters that I send out every week or two, if you sign up, you'll get my mini fabulous formula, because I'm in the middle of writing a book called The Fabulous Formula, which shows women how to feel truly fabulous about themselves. And it's about how you treat yourself, how you show other people to treat you in your relationships, and what you bring to the world. And I call those bits love, grace, and clarity. So there's a mini version of that that people can get for free when they sign up to be on my newsletter. So that will all be live, I would say, mid-September. So very
fantastic. When this podcast will go out, so make sure you check out Harriet. Thank you so much. And I just love your outlook on life. And I've talked to a lot of people, and I just love the different examples you give. And I think you just put things in a different way. So you've definitely got a true talent there, Harriet.
Thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
If you want to see more from Harriet, just go over to the blog post. We'll put all her links on there. Some beautiful pictures of her as well, with all her quotes that she said in the podcast.
Brilliant.
Just go over to mumtomillionaire.com/episode63.
Bye.
mumtomillionaire.com. Excel in business and life. Be a go getter.
What an absolutely beautiful woman. She's seriously just so, you know, when you just like, you just know that they are just so lovely within and out. Make sure you check out Harriet. I just gave you the wrong website link. It's mumtomillionaire.com/episode64. Make sure you do connect with her. And I also just want to quickly say before you get on with your amazing mum life is that thank you so much for all your messages. Everyone that DM'd me over on Instagram after listening to episode 62 of this podcast, where I just told you the truth about what is kind of going on in my life right now, finding it really difficult to kind of cope with my son's situation. And I know a lot of you are saying, don't say sorry for crying, but I do apologize for crying because I just feel like it doesn't help anyone. Like, I just want to help you as much as I can, and by me getting emotional, it just doesn't help anyone's situation. So yeah, if you haven't listened to episode 62 yet and you want to kind of have a brief overview about what is going on and why I've just been so inconsistent with this podcast, do you go to just listen to episode 62. So mumtomillionaire.com/episode62. And from now on, we are going to have this podcast every single Wednesday. And that's always been the plan. Every Wednesday at 10 o'clock in the morning, UK time. That is when this podcast is going live. Just thank you for sticking with me. I can't believe I launched this podcast 2 years ago and I have just been highly inconsistent. But a lot of you have also been giving me amazing ideas and I've been wanting to do this for a while, actually put this podcast into seasons. So I know I can interview loads of amazing mums, put them into a season, have a little break and then start up again. So that is what I'm currently doing. So for the rest of the year, there will be podcasts every Wednesday. Then I have a little bit of a break and come back again in 2018 with a brand new season. Thank you for your support. You're amazing. If you ever want to drop me a message, if you ever just want to talk to someone, do DM me over on Instagram. You can find me at mum2millionaire. That's mum and then T-O millionaire over on Instagram. You have an amazing week. Live your life like an emerald. You are a beautiful emerald. Live in hope. And just work towards your definition of success. Whatever your definition of success is, work towards that. Don't work towards anyone else's definition of life or what you should be doing. You're amazing. I love you and I'll see you next week. Bye.